Hallelujah. We glorify the Lord today. And we've been studying the book of Revelation, but the Lord has been just dealing with me yesterday, and that I should bring something else this morning. All of us are aware of the condition of the world right now. We have this great war. Oh, my. And we all need to be in prayer for all those people. These things that are happening in the world, they're signs to us that Jesus is going to come very, very soon. So let's just ask the Lord's blessing on this that he gave to me this morning that we were to talk about here. Father, we thank you. We know that you're in control, Lord. We don't like these things that are happening, Father. Oh, God. We pray, oh, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, that you will speak to this man, Putin, Father, that you will rebuke him for his work that he's doing right now, trying to destroy this nation, Father, and the many Christians that are there, Father, the Jewish people also that are there. Lord, the people that have fled, just long lines of their cars all lined up trying to get out of there, Father. Lord, we know that you are able and faithful, Father. We pray for our nation and all the nations of the world that are involved in this, Father, that don't want to get totally involved. Father, I pray that you will work these things out for your honor and glory, Father, that Christ may be exalted. We believe you now, Father, in Jesus' name, to bless this message and encourage our hearts, Father God. Hallelujah. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. First chapter of 1 Corinthians. We're just going to read some scriptures today about the nearness of the coming of the Lord. That's what the Lord just so impressed on me in the night, and just seeing the signs of the times. There are signs that Jesus told us to watch for. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, this is Apostle Paul speaking to these people. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Brother Todd. Yes, it was a proper verse. It was just the enemy trying to hinder us here. But Paul, in his day, was looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. And here we are over 2,000 years later, and we haven't seen the coming of Jesus Christ. Does that discourage us? It should not discourage us at all, because we are seeing signs right now of great distress, things that are terrible happening in our world. I was vexed. You know what vexed means? Upset that our country has put us under control of Russia by making us take their oil. He has shut off our oil that was coming and just wonderful here for us in this country, and we are being served by not Soviet Russia, but that's what they're wanting again, Russia. And it's so ungodly, but it's a sign to us. These things are happening, unusual things happening right now. And I think it is to stir our hearts, to make us to realize that Jesus is very close at hand. He's coming. And notice, let's read on here a little bit. He says, we're waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said to do. You know, he said, watch and wait, because I'm going to come again. And I believe that. He says, Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end. That word confirm means to establish. We need that in our lives. We need to be established in the Word of God and in our actions. What does that speak of? It's like a tree with the roots going down deep where the wind comes and starts blowing things around, but yet the tree stands solid because they've got an established thing to hang on to. You and I need to be established in the Word of God so greatly that nothing in life will stop us from trusting and believing in God. He is a wonderful Savior. He loves us. The Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father have given all that we might be redeemed and be come into this place of his love and his kingdom. Now let's read verse 8. Who shall also confirm you or establish you unto the end? Is it by our strength that we're going to be able to stand and be faithful to God? No, it isn't at all. It's Him that is going to establish us. He's the one who's going to give us this ability to keep standing and keep watching for the coming of Jesus. And we really believe He's coming soon. He says that we may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word in the Greek means irreproachable. That's kind of a big word. Do you understand what that word means, irreproachable? It means that there's no reproaches. There are no claims that can go against us and say, well, they didn't follow the Lord or they didn't stand fast. See, the devil will bring that up. He'll throw in and try to show you your faults. That's what he does. But we know that as we walk with the Lord and read the Word of God and trust in the Word of God that to change us and to work in us, that He's going to make us blameless or irreproachable. Where Satan's telling lies. He's not telling truths. See? So praise the Lord that we have this victory. And then notice what verse 9 says. God is faithful, by whom we were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. He cannot go back on His word. You know that? God proclaims something to be the truth, it is always going to be the truth. It's going to be like the promises of God. His promises, the scripture says, are sure and amen. They are yea and amen. They will come to pass. And we really believe that some of these things that are happening in the world right now are signs to us. We know that the scripture, now some of you may not know this, but in the scripture, Ezekiel 37 and 39 both speak of Russia. And it's called there Gog and Magog. But Magog is Russia, and Gog is the representative or the leader of Russia. And also there it refers in the 37th chapter, I think it is, or 38th, it refers to the leader of Russia. And so these things are there in the Word of God. It says that they will come against the people of God. And you can see that. They haven't yet come against Israel, but they will and at one time or another, according to the scripture. So we can see that time is gathering to a point of it's just so near and so very close to the coming of Jesus. Turn with me to chapter 24 of Matthew. 24 of Matthew. These are Jesus' words right here. He was talking about the time of the end. In verse 3, he was sitting there on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and they came to him saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And he begins to give signs, things that we will see when it is almost time for the end of the world. And, there's been so much water under the bridge, we might say, there's been many, many battles and many, many things go on in this world. But when we see certain things, like with Russia rising up against these people, and they're so deceitful and ungodly, not all of them are, we know that, but the leader there is. So we can see that things are happening that are unusual. Verse 5 of this Matthew 24 says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So when we hear of these things going on, it makes me sad. It makes me pray. It makes me cry out to the Lord because I feel for those people. How would we feel if they would suddenly do that to us, you know? And so we need to pray for the people, that there will be people who will receive Christ as their Savior there. And so when we hear of these wars and the rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled. That word in the Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek. Most of us know that originally. And that word in the Greek there, troubled, means frightened. Don't be frightened. Don't be frightened. We're human beings. How can we not be frightened? Why, turning everything over to the Lord, giving it the things that bother us over to the Lord, praying to Him and seeking Him to watch for us. Take care of us, Lord. Protect us and help those poor people. Oh, I hope all of us are going to prayer for the people that are being persecuted so and killed. And they are so vehement, they're going to go and fight, even if they're just a shopkeeper or they're some older person that really doesn't have any business doing that, we might think. But yet they're going to fight for their liberty. Isn't that amazing? So we need to pray for them, because there are wars and rumors of wars. But he says, don't be troubled by this, because all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. For all of these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, there's going to come a time when Jesus Christ will come, and there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. We read of that in the book of Revelation that we've been studying. If we don't get anything, you know, from Revelation, the thing that we need to be getting is that all of these things that are going to happen is because of the rejection of Christ in the world. So many people have rejected Christ as their Savior. And God is going to judge the world for that. But he's going to take his loved ones, his believers who trust in him, he's going to take them away to heaven. Some will get saved in the 7 years of tribulation, and they will live here on the earth for the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I know that this might not be a subject that some people might understand, but it is true. Jesus Christ is going to reign one of these days. The tribulation is going to come, and he's going to come back in power and great glory at the end of tribulation, and he's going to smite the nations and destroy and bring about this millennial reign of 1,000 years when the earth will be so totally changed. So I'd like for you to turn to John, St. John, the 14th chapter. And we're going to read those first few verses again, because I know that Satan tries all the time to defeat us and make us be afraid. And there's one thing that we can learn is to give our burden, our fear over to the Lord. Give it to the Lord and don't worry so much. Just say, Lord, whatever your will is, that will be it, and I'm trusting in you. I have suffered the loss of many loved ones. I don't have any siblings anymore. I don't have my mother or my father or my husband. I don't have those people anymore. My grandson that died just not too long ago, you know. But I have the Lord. And you do too. You know, if you know Jesus as your Savior, he is watching over you. So let's read verse 1 here that Jesus spoke. In chapter 14 of John, let not your heart be troubled. It means to stir or agitate. So, you know, we see this stuff on the news, and it's so awful hard to see people suffering. And maybe we cry a few tears, but he says, don't let your heart be just stirred to fear and things like that. But believe in God. Believe, he says, Jesus said, you believe in God. See, the Jews, what he was speaking to, were, they said, oh yeah, we worship God, but they didn't want to accept Jesus. And he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go, it says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So that's the promise of the Lord, and I really believe that promise. And when Thomas was one of the disciples, he asked the Lord in verse 5, Lord, we know not where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one way to be assured that we're going to heaven, and that is by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And he comes into our lives. And one of the things the scripture says is that he makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus. He's such a wonderful Savior. He takes care of us all the time. And I just praise him for that. And I know that he will give us assurance in all of the trials of life and the times of trouble that we go through. He has done that for me. Praise the Lord. So let's turn to the book of Acts. And this is Jesus there speaking to the disciples. And he's getting ready to go back up to heaven. And he's assuring them and speaking to them. And while he's talking, he just goes away up into heaven. And that means something. So let's begin with verse 8. He's telling them, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken away from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This is the promise that he gave those angels, presented that to those disciples way, way back there over 2,000 years ago. But it's the same promise to us today. We don't spend our time just gazing up into the sky, wondering if Jesus, maybe I'll see him, you know. No, that's not it at all. It's in our attitude and what we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back again and that he is going to take us to heaven one of these days. And that time is coming closer and closer and closer. Let's look over in the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ... Have you been risen with Christ? Yes. In God's sight, his death was the death for us, and now we are raised again by the resurrection of Christ. We are a new person in Christ, a new creation, the scripture says. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Right? But verse 4 is the one that we want to really look at. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. See? He's our life, but one of these days, he's literally going to come back and take us. Praise the Lord. It takes faith to believe that. That's what the whole thing about Christianity is. It's by faith, believing in what the Word of God says. Praise the Lord. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we also shall appear with him in glory. Praise the name of Jesus. I'd like us to turn to 1 Thessalonians and look there again at those scriptures that we like and we read about Jesus coming back. That's chapter 4. Begin reading with verse 13. I want to just say before we read these that one thing that we know and are assured of, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that if we pass from this life, our body is buried, and our spirit, we are a believer in Christ, our spirit goes away to be with the Lord. Yet when Jesus Christ comes back, all of those, the believers that are trusting and watching for the coming of Jesus, they're going to be raised from the dead. And that's what this scripture says, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He's just using the term asleep to speak of those who have died, who have passed away, but the believers. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have great hope in the Lord. We are going to see our loved ones again. Praise the Lord. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, and the word in the Greek is precede, them which are asleep. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, when that trumpet sounds, and then those that are alive and remain will be changed into the likeness of the Lord, into our new glorified state, and will be taken away into the presence of the Lord. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those believers in Christ will rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what that word caught up means? It means to seize. So how is that transaction going to take place? God is going to do it. He's going to reach down and raise the people that we're believing in faith and trusting God. He's going to deliver them, bring them up from their graves. He's going to reach down and take the ones that are alive and remain. Isn't that a beautiful thought? In his hands, in his hands. Praise the Lord. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And notice what it says in verse 18, comfort one another with these words. Praise God. I think what I'm going to do now is go ahead and turn to 1 John. Let's go to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. This is John that wrote Revelation. He wrote the book of John, one of the four Gospels. He was a man that outlived all the other disciples, all of them, as he's writing down the book of Revelation that the Lord has given him, all the disciples are already dead by that time. He's the only one left. He dies a natural death, even though he suffers tremendous trouble from Rome. Praise the Lord. And so this is one of the things that he wrote. The third chapter, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What manner of love. What manner. When we compare the love of God with anything else, that word, manner there, what manner, it means how unique is the love of God. How unique is the love of God? He loves people that don't love him. It would be hard for us sometimes to love people that treat us wrong or whatever. But he loves us. It says he's bestowed this love upon us. He's granted it to us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world doesn't like Christians as a whole. Even our United States. It's just something. I have read, and I suppose it's true, that they're not allowing the people in the army in different services like that of having Bibles. They can't have a Bible in there with them. That's ridiculous. That is the devil, isn't it? It's the devil at work in this world. But we're called the sons of God, and the world does not know who we are. We are believers in Christ. But notice now this verse. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Scripture says that the Lord chooses us. He chooses us to be his children. He gives us an opportunity to receive the Lord as our Savior. And it's a wonderful thing to just come and say, Lord, I want to be your child. I want to be born again. Born again is a term that Jesus said. He said, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so if anyone is here today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, think about this. Now are we the sons of God. We are the children of the living God. And you can be a child of the living God if you just give your heart to the Lord and just pray a simple prayer. Lord, save me. Help me. And he will. Praise the Lord, because he has great love for us. So, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. That's speaking of it when we get to heaven. We don't know exactly what we're going to be like up there. We know we're going to have a different body, but it will be us. It will be us changed into God's likeness, into Christ's likeness. And so he says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Do you know that? It is for us as believers in Christ Jesus to know this fact, that Jesus is going to come back and he is going to take his dear ones away one of these days. And the dead in Christ, who know, when it says in Christ, it means those born again, those that are yielding to God the first time, those people will be taken out of their graves and will be raised up. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't understand that because we have never got there yet. But one of these days, when we're with the Lord, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be such bliss and such ecstasy. I almost went one time, and I've told you about this, but we were discussing it this morning. I was having a heart cath, and suddenly I was going toward the light. And I had my hands out like this, and I was going through the darkness, and I was going to the light. And the surgeon and the nurse and everybody was yelling at me, come back, come back, come back. And I went back. Just for a few seconds, all of a sudden I was going toward the light again. That was an experience that just blessed me and just made it so real that one of these days I'm going to go to the light. Yeah. Jesus Christ is the light of this world. Hallelujah. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. I hope you can say today, I know that when he shall appear, I will be like him, for I shall see him as he is. Put that, let that I in there. You can come to that place in your life where you have committed it all to God, and whatever his will is for you, you're willing to do that and be obedient to his will. And praise the Lord, one of these days he's going to appear. He's going to appear. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to see him, the Bible says, as he is. We can't imagine that, can we? 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly. See, in the time of that writing, they had little brass looking glasses still. They couldn't see very much. Or looking through an old glass thing that was smeared and wasn't, you couldn't really see through. Right now in this life, we can't really see what Jesus, who he is and what he is. We see him by faith. We sometimes have visions of him, but we don't really see him with our natural eye. But one of these days, when he calls his own to come and be with him, we're going to see Jesus. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And God the Father, praise the Lord. So he says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Oh, what a joy that's going to be, to see him face to face. And Paul said, now I just know in part. What I know about God, is very small compared to when I get there, when you get there, and you see heaven, and you see all the things of God and the glory of God. Oh, boy, won't that be wonderful? Praise the Lord. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. That means, actually means, whatever God has worked in our life in this life, it will help us to have greater insight when we get to heaven. There'll be greater rewards, greater things for us in heaven. Praise the Lord.